In the name of Jesus, our Savior,
amen.
One thing we cannot say about the story in today's gospel lesson is what the scribes and the people said at the end. We've never seen anything like this before. The fact of the matter is that this story, these events, are very, very familiar to us. We've heard it all before. It's recounted, after all, in all three synoptic gospels. You've read the Arch book. You've seen the movies. We know the story. The scene is familiar. We've been here before. And when you're in a familiar place, you have to listen carefully to notice the obvious all over again. There is Jesus, at home for once, speaking the word to a packed house, standing room only. The paralyzed man has friends to help him, but even so, it takes some heroic measures to get him in close to Jesus, up on the roof, down through the rafters. I'm sure that gets everybody's attention. What's happening next? Sure, we know that too. What Jesus does for the paralyzed man may even seem obvious to you and me because we know the story. Jesus makes the man well, of course. That's what Jesus does. He makes him stand up on his own two feet and walk out of there carrying the stretcher he came in on. Oh, but wait. Before that, beyond that, better than that, something else. Jesus forgives the man his sins. Not just generically or theoretically, not in the future tense or the subjunctive mood. Jesus pronounces forgiveness on this sick man as if something is really happening when he says it. The teachers of the law were there too, paying close attention and drawing theological conclusions. Healing diseases may have been suspect in their eyes, but still allowable under certain conditions. But this forgiveness talk clearly crosses the line. In no time at all, they come up with an airtight, ironclad syllogism of outrage. Only God can forgive sins. We know this Jesus is not God, therefore, Jesus can't forgive sin. And it's blasphemy if he says he does. Jesus knows their logic. He knows their doubts. But he's not here to win an argument by skillfully rebutting their syllogism and debunking their minor premise. He's out to win their hearts. So he answers their unspoken objections with a question, with a great question. Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? Which is easier? What a question. Maybe the answer to that is obvious to you, but this has always been one of those sentences in the gospel that makes me stop and stare at the page for a while. And there I sit, like students staring at a new prof's exam, unsure of how to answer and wondering, is this a trick question? Which is easier? To say your sins are forgiven, or to tell the sick man, get up and walk? I answer carefully, it depends. It depends not on what the meaning of the word is, but on what it means to say something. If saying a thing, you see, just means talking the talk, making the right noises, mouthing the words, and getting away with it, well then, in that case, it's a lot easier to say your sins are forgiven. Who's going to check it out and see if it really worked? How are they going to know one way or the other? I remember when I was a kid wondering whether the light in our refrigerator really went off when the door was closed, like my brother told me, or whether maybe it stayed on all the time. On our fridge, you had to close the door all the way to turn the light off, so you couldn't leave it open just a crack and peek in and check. So, oh, sure, it was easy for my big brother to say that the light went off when the door was closed, but how could I know? How could I check it out? The only way I could figure to test this would be to crawl inside the fridge and have somebody close the door, but my mom wouldn't let me try that. I figured it was easy to say that the light went out because it was unverifiable. I couldn't prove it either way without getting in more trouble than it was worth. By that measurement, of course, telling a paralyzed man to get up and walk is a very difficult, very risky thing. You say that, and it will be obvious to everybody in the room real quick whether your words really mean what they say or not. If he gets up and strides out, fine. If not, your words turn out to be just a string of collected phonemes, a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury, maybe, but signifying nothing. No, it's a lot easier to say his sins are forgiven if saying means nothing more than making the noises and getting away with it without looking like an idiot. If that's what it means to say something, then in the gospel today, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven. After all, how could the scribes verify it one way or the other? It's like the fridge light that's only off when the door is closed and nobody can see it. Who's gonna know? If that's all it means to say forgiveness, then I think maybe the scribes actually had a point. That's a species of blasphemy. It's a way of playing games with God, of throwing around God talk because we think we can get away with it, because we figure it's unverifiable anyway and nobody's going to check us out. But that's not what it means when Jesus says something. When Jesus says things, they happen. They happen because he has the authority to do that, to say that. When I asked my son, my noted exegetical expert in the house, the question du jour, which is easier, he thought for a second and said, "It depends on who you are." Good answer. If you want your words to really do what they say, you have to be the right person to make them stick. You have to speak with the authority to make it happen. That's addendum 12A. Now, by that standard, we have to answer the which is easier question the other way around. Which is easier? Well, making a paralytic well again, making him stand up and walk, isn't exactly easy, but it's sure a lot easier than making forgiveness happen. Only God can do that. And sure enough, here he is, doing that, saying that, and speaking with the authority to make it happen for real. And just to make sure we know he's not just blowing smoke, Jesus also says the easier thing. And he turns to the man lying on the stretcher and says, "Get up." And he gets up. Wow, it's amazing. Now we know that this Jesus has the authority, the divine clout, to say the hard thing, to speak the word that makes forgiveness happen for real. Because he also says and does what is, by comparison, the easy thing. And he sends the man walking home whole. What you get here in this oh-so-familiar story from the gospel is a glimpse of the kingdom bursting into the world. The dam that holds back heaven is starting to break. And it's happening right here where Jesus is. Why does this fellow talk like that? Because this is the guy who even commands demons and they obey. This is the man who heals every kind of disease that people bring to him. He feeds the hungry. He raises the dead. He walks on water. But what C.S. Lewis calls the invasion from heaven is by no means limited to a trickle of miracles and cures here and there, a few signs and wonders maybe that leak through. In the grand scheme of the gospel, those things are just the small stuff. That's the easy thing. You know heaven is really crashing in upon you when the big stuff happens, when the hard word gets said, when sin is forgiven for real. The Son of Man, the Son of God, doesn't nibble around the edges of the problem. He doesn't just treat the symptoms. He is the one and only one who tackles the disease of sin head on and cures it, heals it, forgives it. That's what Jesus does. That's what he says. Not because it's easier to say, but because he has the authority on earth to forgive sins. In that authority, by his command, his church still says the hard thing, says forgiveness to make it happen for real. Absolution is no pious wish. Remember, it's no hollow sound of unverifiable assertions. It's not just loose God talk that sounds good, but who knows? Without the authority of the Son of God, the pastor pronouncing absolution can start to look like old King Canute, or whoever that was, standing on the beach and commanding the tide not to come in. A pretty silly exercise. But now, your sins are forgiven you. In the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, the hard word has been said and done and sealed with body and blood, given and shed for you. You and I walk out of here today forgiven and free. Which, when you think about it, makes this place too, as familiar as it is to all of us, the site of amazing, unheard of miracles. Sins forgiven, sinners saved, peace with God for real, forever, for you. Amen.